is your host, Ken Martinez, on the latest episode of West Coast XC. This week, we'll be focusing on the Big Ten Championship, which is happening on the West Coast. Such an odd thing to say. It's a new world and new year. The University of Oregon is hosting the Big Ten Championship at Hayward Field, at the historic Hayward Field. And we have on Keenan Gray of Dystat, who has been a guest on our episodes and podcasts before. And he'll give us a rundown of all the distance events and who to look for as Oregon will be hosting from Friday, May 16th until Sunday, May 18th. Last weekend, I was at Hayward Field for the Oregon Twilight. And if you're interested in those photos, you can find those on our Instagram account and also on our website. And also the next night I went to Lewis and Clark College in Portland for the Portland Twilight. And there's some pretty outstanding 1500 meter races that I took pictures of. I took pictures of the 800 meter races too. So you can go on our website and on our bio on Instagram to download those photos. If you're watching, if you wouldn't mind subscribing on YouTube. Doesn't cost anything and it really helps us out. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, if you could give us a follow, that would be awesome. I'm looking forward to being at the University of Oregon this weekend. And after talking to Keenan, I'm even more excited. It's going to be a great weekend. So let's talk to Keenan. Well, we are happy to have with us Dystat's Keenan Gray, who's going to come on today and talk about the Big Ten Championships being held in Eugene, Oregon, at the University of Oregon. Hey, Keenan, how you doing?
The fact that you said Hayward Field and Big Ten Championships in one sentence just does not sit well with me quite yet, but this is the reality we're in right now.
Well, that is my first question. We can maybe see in the background the University of Washington banner behind you. You live in Oregon now, but you're from Washington. I grew up in California, Southern California, and live in Oregon. So I think we both can probably scratch our head a little bit and say the Big Ten Championship at Hayward Field. I have a hard time. I'll probably get used to it, but it's a little strange. Is it strange to you?
It was strange, I guess, when they were in Indianapolis for that first ever. Well, let me backtrack. It was strange during the cross country season when they had that first championships that was won by Oregon and then Wisconsin on the men's side. It took me a while to like kind of the realization of like, oh my gosh, like this is actually happening now. Like I see these teams from the West Coast, originally Pac-12 schools that have these Big Ten logos on their jerseys now. And I also like, it caught me by surprise too. And like, you know, again, being a Husky fan, like it caught me off by surprise when like during football season, when, you know, you would see Washington making the trek to Penn State to play the Nittany Lions and Washington having to go to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes. So, I don't know if it will ever feel completely normal. What I will say, though, I am really excited about this meet. This is going to be an epic conference championship meet. I mean, everyone talks about, you know, the SECs being the pinnacle of conference championship meets. The Big Ten is going to start sliding right in and be in that same conversation.
Well, good. Let's get into it then. On Friday, we're going to go in order of finals. So Friday is the final of the 10,000. What are some highlights you see in the women's 10,000?
You know, there's an opportunity for a lot of, you know, the people that, you know, live in Oregon that, you know, get the chance to see their Ducks compete for the very first time, or maybe it's a handful of times that they've seen them this year at Hayward Field. I think Oregon's competed at Hayward Field, I think, three times this year. So this will be the fourth opportunity for the Oregon fans to come watch them race, but none of them have seen Diana Cherotich from the University of Oregon. She is she's phenomenal, and Jerry Schumacher and Shalane Flanagan have a lot of high expectations for her. And just at 19 years old, she has accomplished so much in her time. Not even just at the University of Oregon, but before she showed up from Kenya. And she's, you know, she's has a lot of global experience too. She's done a lot of like races in Japan when I looked at like her world athletics profile. And I don't know why she happened to go to Japan for a lot of these races, but you know, she soloed a 15:23 at the OSU High Performance Meet, which you know, in this day and age of the 5Ks, it's like, well, 15:23 is that's okay. Well, it's actually a pretty good solo effort given the fact that she lapped the entire field.
Right.
So I'm curious, you know, I think she's going to be doubling this week, so it'll be fun to see her, you know, race the 10,000, her first ever 10,000. I think you were down actually at the Stanford Invitational when she made her, actually, I think that was her debut in an Oregon uniform, and she ran one of the all-time fastest performances in, you know, NCAA history, along with, you know, her teammate Juliet Cherubit, who's also going to be in the mix. So, you know, I expect those two, you know, working together. I don't know if it's gonna be a fast race. I highly doubt it, but but I bet you 100% that those two are gonna work together. And you know, those are 18 points right there that the Ducks could easily get. That being said, I think the athlete that could potentially poses a threat to those two, and you know, maybe split them up at the end of the race, is Florence Curone of Penn State. Really talented athlete, had a really good fall season, kind of had an okay indoor track season, but you know, someone that you know was an All-American in cross and by far the best to ever put on a Penn State uniform. So she's another one that's going to be doubling, I think, in the 5 and the 10K this weekend. So if you're looking at it, you know, obviously with Cherotich and Cherubit being the favorites, it would not surprise me if Florence Curone from Penn State gets in that mix. And heck, depending on what the race looks like, she might even win the race.
Right, because it could be, strategic. You've got a 5,000 coming up on Sunday. You're not really. You've got the time is already set for NCAAs, so they might just do, just a strategic race. And if that's the case, you might have four or five people with a lap to go. Anything could happen. Now, in the 10,000, who are you liking in the 10,000?
I like King Bob. There's a reason why he's called King Bob for a reason. I mean, he's one of the, you know, not just one of the best athletes in Wisconsin history, one of the most decorative, you know, Big Ten athletes of all time. I mean, he's won, you know, so much. I think he became the first athlete this last fall in Big Ten history to win four consecutive Big Ten individual cross country titles,
Wow.
which with the amount of talent that has gone through the Big Ten in cross country over the years, you know, I think of like, you know, Morgan McDonald for course, Wisconsin, you know, Kevin Sullivan at Michigan. Like, there was a lot of really good runners back in the day and in the Big Ten. It's just no one's been able to, I think maybe it might be one other person that was able to accomplish. I could be totally wrong, but I think Bob Liking might be the only one that has ever won four Big Ten cross country titles in a row. So I
Yeah.
definitely like his chances in this event. You know, he kind of had a Big Ten title ripped away from him this last indoor season. He lost the 5,000 to Connor Burns,
That's right.
which caught a lot of I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. It's like, whoa, like we're used to seeing, you know, Bob Liking winning all these longer distance races. Well, when you throw in a school like Oregon and Washington, you know you're going to have some of those guys in the mix. And you know, that day it ended up being Connor Burns, and Connor Burns had this amazing kick
You did.
to beat Bob Liking on that last 200 meters and kind of dethroned King
Yeah.
Bob. So that'll be a fun one to, you know, see him out there. And then other guys that are in the field, you got his teammate, of course, Johnny Livingston, another guy that's ran around, you know, 28:20s. As I said about the women's race, I don't expect any PRs in this race because it is championship style racing. A lot of these guys, they already ran their, you know, their fastest 10K times, whether it was at the 10 or Brian Clay or just some point during the season. This is going to come down to a strategic type of race. And, you know, who knows? You got guys like Evan Jenkins and Tyrone Gorsey from the University of Washington who are in there. And, you know, Tyrone loves the long distance stuff. I mean, he had an opportunity to run a 10K and try to break the national record his senior year of high school. Came up a little bit short, but he loves and thrives off of that long stuff. And then a guy like Evan Jenkins, who to me, I thought he was more of a middle distance guy when he was in high school at Camas. For some reason, Andy Powell has turned him into this longer distance guy. So you know,
Worked
those two
out.
can be expected. Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I just it's especially that, you know, that family in general. Like they've a lot of them. I mean, his two sisters were both middle distance stars as well in high school. So, but he's happened to do really well in the 10,000. But I think the one guy that's, you know, doesn't he's starting to figure it out, and he for Oregon, and you know it's a guy you and I are really familiar with, born and raised here in the state of Oregon, went to Lincoln High School in Portland. Aiden Smith, he's starting to figure some stuff out now that he's been there the last couple of years, and you know that 28-21 he ran, that's not a joke, and he was an All-American in cross country this last fall. Took some time, but he's starting to figure it out. So I think that's another guy, you know, that could challenge King Bob. And you know, there's a lot of other guys in that field that could mix it up, but you know, those are really ones that kind of stand out.
Well, I'm not a Big Ten expert. I stay close to this coast, but maybe Bob Kennedy, he had a really good freshman year for Indiana. He might be one of the all-time with
Yeah,
Bob
no,
Liking.
honestly, I think it's Bob Liking and Bob Kennedy that are in that same conversation when it comes to multiple cross country titles in the Big Ten. Again, I have to go back and look at it, but I know for sure Bob Liking won a fourth consecutive Big Ten individual
And
title
that
this
might be the
last
only,
fall.
yeah, he might be the only one. So on Saturday, we head out to the 3,000 meter steeplechase. Meanwhile, I want to mention the 15 and the 800 are doing prelims during Friday's and Saturday's events. But on the finals, the 3,000 meter steeplechase, who do you see in the women's 3,000 meter steeplechase?
I mean, I haven't really necessarily seen a lot of these, you know, at least starting on the women's side, I haven't seen a lot of these women, you know, run these steeplechase races. You know, it's interesting because, you know, when you have somebody like a Doris Lingole who's ran 9:10 for the steeplechase, you kind of already assume like, well, she's going to win the national title. There's no one going to be even remotely close to what she's running. But then you put into perspective like how good that time was. I mean, for Caitlin Stewart Barnett of Michigan State, 9:36.96. That's a very solid time. Then two Minnesota athletes, Zoe Dundon, Isabella Schmitz, 9:52.46, 9:55.19. Those are very good too. At this point, I would lean towards, you know, Caitlin Stewart Barnett from Michigan State as, you know, just based off time alone.
Yeah, she's a pretty good
But
gap
you know,
there.
maybe going back to my point about women's 10,000, maybe you got, you know, your two teammates teaming up with each other, going off one another, and then it comes down to a kick. Again, the steeplechase is a much shorter race than the 10,000, of course, so it might be a little bit quicker. But you know, when you have teammates there, and I have no idea of, I haven't been able to look at the entire entry list, but I have no idea if, you know, Michigan State's going to have, you know, multiple entries for the steeplechase. But she's gonna, I mean, with that time that she's running, I mean, I got to imagine she's running by herself in practice a lot. So those three, those are probably my three favorites to, you know, finish on the podium, Stan.
Now, on the men's side, it's a little bit closer. It could be really anybody.
Yeah, no, I mean, looking across the board, I mean, there's five guys ranked top 35 in the entire country, but the one I really like is Ben Balazs. Like he looked awesome. Ever since, you know, I mean, again, another guy from the state of Oregon went to, I believe, Sunset High School. Went to Sunset High School. When I first saw him run the 2K steeplechase, I think it was the Oregon Relays, Oregon Relays and Nike Outdoor Nationals, I was really impressed. Then you, of course, you had to add on another kilometer to make it a 3,000 meter race, and you know, 8:34.72, legit. It's a very, very good time. That being said, when it comes to, you know, national rankings, I mean, he's 16th right now, and it's going to be hard to make the NCAA final with, you know, how good that race has been this year. And you know, there's a guy from Louisville, his name is Joffrey, spelled Jeffrey, but it's pronounced Joffrey, ran the number two all-time performance in the steeplechase at the Brian Clay Invitational. But you know, I mean, there's other names there: Nick Gillis, Wisconsin; Luke Knapp, who I saw run at Drake Relays for the Hawkeyes. He's good, but you know, being at Hayward Field, no one's ran that steeple pit more than Ben Balazs has.
True.
So, give me Ben Balazs to win that one.
So then we go to Sunday, and we're going to talk about the 15 and the 8 without knowing if they'll make the final. But if these athletes make it, who do you see in the women's 1500?
Listen, if some of these people don't even make the final, we got some issues. I think we got some issues if some of these people
No,
aren't
they're
going to
running
be
fast.
exactly. It's going to be like an NCAA championship before the NCAA championships even come to Hayward Field in mid-June. That woman's 1500, You arguably have the best duo in the entire country when it comes to, to the 1500 and Shalon Ayildiz, Mia Barnett. They looked awesome at the Drake Relays in the mile when they both went, number one all time in collegiate history, number two all time in collegiate history. Of course, Shalon now owns both indoor and outdoor mile records. She is awesome to watch. She's been doing this now. I think she's in her sixth year. I think this is her last year
He was
of
up for the senior
eligibility.
night. Yeah.
Yeah. So, one of those seniors that has been around for a while, and you're wondering, dang, when are you going to graduate? Well, this spring she will be graduating. But I mean, to no surprise after watching what Shalon did in indoor season that she broke the outdoor collegiate mile record, I was more impressed by Mia Barnett.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird because so initially she went to Virginia for school. Then she transferred to UCLA to join Brosnan's training group. And then Brosnan left, of course. So then that left her entering the portal again. And she found her way up to Eugene. And just like anybody else that is within that program and has been running for Chulane, they have been just flourishing and just running fast. Confident. I think that's the other thing too. A lot of those Oregon women, they just run confident. It doesn't matter, who you're putting them up against. They are just so confident when they're on that starting line. With regards to, other athletes in the field, Sophie O'Sullivan, an Olympian last summer for Ireland, she's finally getting back into running again. This is also her last year of eligibility for the Huskies, and one of the best to ever put on a Husky kit, and kind of like one of the very first athletes, I think, that Marisa Powell got a hold of and like started to like show people, like, this is who we want as the standard for our program. Like, we want people like, Sophie from the day one to, grow as an athlete and then become what we thought they were going to become at their end of their career, which is one of the best to ever put on a uniform at the University of Washington. So that'll be fun to watch. She's already ran two flat in the 800, so the speed's there. It's just whether or not where's her strength at. I mean, she's already ran 408, so really, really good time to start the year. But yeah, that should be a barn burner. And anytime you get the Huskies versus the Ducks in the 1500, which then will transition to our men's 1500 race, it's always going to be a duel, and there's a lot of bragging rights up for grabs.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about Wisconsin, and in the 1500, we have this Wisconsin, but then also Washington, Oregon story in the men's 1500.
Adam Spencer, really, 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 really good runner for Wisconsin. Really good 1500 meter runner, I should say. Did not necessarily have the finish that he wanted to his outdoor season last year, coming up just a little bit short. He was one of the favorites going into the NCAA final last year. I mean, well, let me rephrase that. He would well, there was like seven favorites. I think there was like maybe eight favorites going into that
Very
final
tight.
last year at Hayward Field. Yeah, Joe Wascom, Colin Solomon, Adam Spencer, Nathan Green. You could have picked Elliot Cook. Any of them could have won. But Adam Spencer, really solid guy. But you can't go against Nathan Green, though. I mean, that kick that Nathan Green has, and for a matter of fact, all of those Washington Huskies that have that, there's blood in the water, especially after, what happened this last indoor season. I mean, the Huskies lost their streak of 1500 miles to a kid from Georgetown and Abel Tefra, which ended their national title consecutive streak. So, this weekend is kind of like, setting that tone. That's like saying, hey, the University of Washington still owns the 1500 mile distance, and we're going to take it back. And this is the first step at Big Tens. Like, let's capture it right here. Especially last year when they were at Pac-12s, Elliot Cook beat, I believe it was Nathan Green in the 1500. And if I saw a video, I remember seeing something like this from Elliot Cook. So there's some thoughts in the back of the head. Now, Elliot Cook's not in this race, but Simeon Birnbaum is going to be. And just at media availability for the Ducks, I asked Simeon, it was like, why are you running the 15? You already had a solid time from what you ran at the Oregon Twilight. And his response was, because I don't want to see somebody else that's not in an Oregon uniform win this thing. And so
Yeah, he took
they're taking
down.
this seriously. Like, this
Yeah, he really looked great against the pros
is
last Friday.
yeah. I mean, he is dialed in. Like, he's he I mean, I I was not shocked that he says that. That's just kind of how his attitude is. But I mean, as I said, going back to when I said the women's 1500, there's that rivalry between the Huskies and the Ducks that's been developing the last, couple of years, at least in the 1500. It's always been there in football and everywhere else, but in the 1500, it can be a bloodbath out there, and it's fun to watch.
It'll be really fun on Sunday. In the women's 800, some of the top runners in the 800 could have easily been one of the top runners in the 1500. They had to kind of make a decision between the 8 and the 15. Who do you look interested in watching in the women's 800?
I have been so impressed with Chloe Forrester this year. She has been fun to watch, and I mean, we knew you and I both know when she was at Jesuit High School how good she could be at the 800, but now that she stepped it up to the 1500, she ran 4:00. I think it was like 4:06, 4:05 for a 1500. I mean, one of the best in the entire country, pretty damn close to a school record too at the University of Washington. To me, this is her race to lose just based on how she's been running this year. Now, that being said, you got someone like Klaudia Kaczmierska, another Olympian who ran for Poland last summer at the Paris Games. She might feel like this is her race to lose, but just based on how much Chloe has ran this season, Claudia is finally just getting back into the mix of things. But based on how much Chloe has ran, I feel like to me, this is her race to lose. So, if she doesn't come away with this win, I feel like she's going to walk away with it from this meet not particularly happy about it. But then again, there's bigger pictures. You got to look ahead towards the NCAA championships. Like, this isn't the end for all these athletes. But there's bragging rights up for grabs. And I think, a win like this, kind of like last year when she won the 1500 against, both Shalon and Claudia in Colorado, like that was a huge momentum stepper for her. And her end of the season did not go as planned at the NCAA championships, but now that she has she has that idea of what it takes to run at the national meet and knows what the rounds go through and what that's like, I think she'll go into this year's nationals with a much more confident mindset.
You have all these Big Ten athletes coming across the country to a track they may not be that familiar with if they didn't run the NCAAs. But you talk about like Benjamin Balazs, who ran there as a high school kid, Tyrone Gorzy at Crater High School, and then you have Chloe at Jesuit. These are athletes that are very familiar with Hayward Field and the Hayward magic, that happens there. What about the men's 800?
It's a good one too. I mean, let's be honest here. Everything is going to be good this
This one
weekend. As
really
I said
is.
at the beginning of this, I mean, it's basically pre-nationals. Like if you're in town, come watch this meet. Like, please. Like, you will not regret it, because not only the fact that it's going to be some of the best athletes in the country, they're bringing their teams, and you rarely see that at an NCAA championship meet. And in the case for like the men's 800, Hanal Roban from Penn State, 145.16. Okay, that's very solid.
It's fast.
Kyle Reinheimer, Washington, 146.09. Yeah, that's pretty good too. Michigan teammates Miles Brown, Camden Law, 146, 147. Well, it's only May right now. What can we expect in June? Could be, I mean, how many of these guys could potentially make the NCAA final? Like, could it take a 144 to win the NCAA final this year? It's kind of like similar to Paris
Amazing.
last year. Could it take a 141 to win an Olympic gold medal? 142. Well, it took a 141, and Bryce Hopple broke the American record and didn't even get on the podium stand. So, yeah, this one should be a fun one. I'm excited to see Robon run for the very first time. When he ran that 145.16, it kind of, caught me by surprise. Just a spot behind Tenota Matsatsa from Georgetown. But that's another one that'll be fun to watch.
That'd be really fun. And then towards the end of the meet before the 4x4 is the 5,000. Some of our athletes we talked about in the 10,000 come back from Friday's 10,000 and run the 5,000.
Yeah, so I mean, it's almost basically the same three women from the 10,000 we talked about in that 5,000 race that will be up front. Kind of a coin toss, kind of to see like, how you're feeling after running 25 laps, 2 days beforehand. This will be Diana Cherechich's first, conference meet. See how she feels after that, that first time around for Cherabit. She's already competed in the Big 12 conference before when she was at Texas Tech. So, and she ran at Big 10 indoors. So, to no surprise, she also doubled the 5 and the 3K and did pretty well. But I don't know. Maybe I kind of lean towards maybe the veteran and Caron here a little bit more on from Penn State. And who knows, depending on how fresh Julia David Smith and Maya Cochran are from University of Washington, maybe they might get into the mix as well. But yeah, that one's a toss up for me.
And then we're back to the 5,000 with a familiar name we talked about in the 10,000.
King Bob all the way. I'm going King Bob all the way. I like
As
him. I like this is the 5 and the 10 are his bread and butter. He's
okay.
been doing this so much, and I'm sure he's won multiple doubles at all the past Big Ten outdoor championships, which last year they were at Ann Arbor, Michigan, and then this year they're coming to Eugene, Oregon for this year's meet, which I have no idea what the weather was like in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It could, I doubt it snowed, but like you never know with the Midwest what that weather could be like. But yeah, I like King Bob to sweep both these races. And you're throwing his teammate Matan Ivrie as well. Like those two are probably going to be trading off laps with each other. And then you got Jenkins again. And yeah,
I
King
mean, it
Bob, let's just get
could
his.
be like a 10,000 too, or it could be like 2 laps to go and there's a lot of guys left over.
Oh yeah, I think I looked at the entry list for like the women's 5,000, and there's like 50 athletes.
I saw that. Yeah.
I'm just like, geez, why? At this point, it's a glorified cross country race.
Some of them, both the men and the women's have no times, and it's probably for like points. You know, there's some pretty good names on that list that are not. Don't have a season time yet because they might score 4 points, 3 points, get some points.
Yeah. Well, if when it's all said and done, and people are asking me if they're asking me these questions, Keenan, what's the best events to watch this weekend? I think for me, it will be the men's 1500, and then I also like the women's 1500 as well. And maybe I for third, it probably would have to be the women's 800. So men's 15, women's 15, women's 800 are my top three events to watch this weekend.
And my account focuses on cross country and distance events. It's going to be a great field events and sprinting. It's going to be an excellent weekend. We have those, plus the four new schools that are from the old Pac-12 bring a lot of track and field history with them and field events and sprints and jumps. And so it's going to
Yeah, I mean,
be.
if you're a big track and field junkie, you're excited to see the USC sprinters do their thing. You're excited, to see the Wisconsin, Minnesota throwers do their thing. You're excited to see the Nebraska and Illinois jumpers do their thing. Like, there's going to be something in every single event that's going to catch the entire country's eye, because if you look at who's in those events and where they're ranked nationally, they are either, in the top 10, in the top 15, top 5, maybe the best in the entire country as well. So there's a lot of excitement when it comes to this meet. And as I said, come out to Hayward Field, come watch this meet. This is the maybe the first of two chances you'll get to see some of these, not just I was trying to college class athletes. I'm not I don't know if that's the right word to say, but these are some of the these are world class athletes that are also going to
Right.
be out here too.
Yeah. So you can watch Friday and Saturday on Runner Space and then on Sunday on the Big Ten Network. They get that right. I feel like I got that right.
Yep, Friday and Sunday will be on Runner Space Plus. And actually, Sunday will also be as well. We'll only do field events on Sunday. But yeah, if you want to catch all the track finals, you can see that on Big Ten Network. But yeah, the first 2 days, Friday, Saturday, will be on runnerspace.com.
Great. Well, I know you'll be working the meet. I'll wave to you from the booth. You'll be up in the booth doing your thing. So listen for Keenan this weekend. And I appreciate you taking the time, Keenan, for coming on. And I'm looking forward to this weekend. It's going to be great. The Big Ten Championships in Eugene. I'm getting used to saying that. And thanks a lot, Keenan.
Appreciate it, Ken. We'll see you there.
We want to give a big thanks to Keenan Gray for coming on from Dystat to talk about the Big Ten Championships. He knows his stuff. I really appreciate his expertise. And as I was listening to him go through all the different events, I'm just thinking, wow, this is going to be awesome. It's a little unfamiliar for me, as you heard earlier. I'm used to the Pac-12 happening at the University of Oregon, or at some place nearby, in Washington or in California or someplace like that. So it's a new world having the Midwest and Eastern teams come out here. But from the sounds of it, it's going to make into an amazing meet with some excellent athletes, not just in the distance events, but in all events this weekend at Hayward Field. So Keenan mentioned you can watch it on runnerspace.com Friday and Saturday, and then on the Big Ten Network on Sunday. So if you don't live in the area, I encourage you to watch it. It's going to be awesome. And you can see it, the beautiful newly redone stadium. It's been open for about 4 or 5 years, but Hayward Field's it's just an amazing place to watch a track meet. I will be at the meet Friday through Sunday and be taking pictures of the distance races, and athletes can and coaches or anybody can download the photos if they like to on our website and on our Instagram account. Again, I want to encourage people to follow on YouTube, West Coast XC. Follow on Instagram too. We're getting close to 10,000 followers. And also you can check out our website at westcoastxc.com. Until next time, remember that the West Coast is the best coast.